Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Praise God. I'm just excited about being here. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let me get this situated. I'm so excited we got all this out of here. Now I can preach from the middle. I've been waiting for that. But God is good. We're just going to continue on deliverance, man. We've been preaching on deliverance for a while. I don't know how long. This is going to be part six, I believe. But we want to continue in this because, as I said in the very beginning, and I'm going to go over the real quick, I want you to pull up the definition of deliverance, because this is a key essential to us walking out who God wants us to be. Amen. I mean, even my brother's testimony that he shared, God is delivering him. Monica's testimony, deliverance. So I know that this is something that God has put on my spirit, not just for us, but for those that are around us. Amen. Because a lot of times people think they cannot be delivered because their sin or their addiction is too great. But nothing is greater than the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. He shed it on the cross for our sins. Amen. All our addictions, all the things that we were caught up on, he broke the chain of the enemy. Amen. It says he went down to Hades and stole the keys of death. Amen. So when we think about his deliverance, this is the key thing that he had. On there, Michael, I put the definition of deliverance, the action of being rescued or set free. Amen. We have to have prayers for deliverance. Even once we've been saved for a while, maybe your deliverance is a little bit different than somebody else's, but there is still things that God has to deliver you from. As a father, I think you always get x-ray vision on what God needs to deliver you from because he sends you kids. Amen. And they will work your nerves. And it's like, man, I didn't really want to yell at him like that. I mean, my thing is now I'm really not trying to raise my voice. You know, and that's something that I'm like, God, I need help with that because it's easy. And sometimes you look at your kids like your brothers and sisters. And when it's your brothers and your sisters, like your brothers, it's like, man, what you do that for? And it's a fight. You lash out. Can't really do that with your kids. Amen. So it's like, man, let me speak to them and help them learn from this situation. And that's one thing that I can just be transparent with. But we also need to have prayers of deliverance. Some of the synonyms, which means these words are the same, is liberation, release, delivery, discharge, rescue, and emancipation. I always say this, the main theme in the Bible is about our deliverance. Jesus would not have came if we didn't need deliverance. He could have stayed up in heaven, and we could have still been doing the sacrificial system, trying to get it. But and see, that's the thing. The sacrificial system just covered over the sins. It didn't keep it from coming again. Amen. That sacrificial system was just a cover up. And I know some of us know about some cover ups. When your parents told you to clean your room at one time and you were like, hey, I'm about to throw everything under here and they won't find out. Right. So you get it and it looks good. It looks clean in your house. But then they come in and your parents, the first thing they do, what's all this under here? Right? It's all under your bed or something. And it's like, oh, you didn't clean it up. You tried to hide it. Amen. And that's what the sacrificial system did. And that's what we do until we allow Jesus to actually deliver us. Amen. Somebody say deliverance. Amen. I've talked about a lot of different things. I want to go to this first scripture, and I don't have it on there, but it's 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. We always got to remember that all scripture is what? Is God breathed. Let's go to this scripture and look at it. And I got it. If you got it, you can say word. Is it up there? And I want to start, actually, I get this from my dad, so I'm going to go to verse 14. All right? He always does that. Says one and goes to the higher one. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned. Somebody say, the things I've learned. And being assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All right, now I'm just going to get this whole situation started. He is talking to Timothy in this right here. And Timothy was raised in God. His grandmother and his mother were devout women of God. Amen. So it says that he was trained in the way. He knew the scriptures from a young age. But what Paul is trying to tell him is to hold on to the things which you've already learned. Right? You guys see that? We have to hold on because there's been some things that we've been trained up in and that we've learned. But if we remove those things and say, hey, I didn't really need that, it's going to come back to haunt you. Because the whole Bible, as it's going to say right here in the next scripture, is useful. Let's go to that verse, verse 16. All scripture, or what we call the Bible, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Somebody say profitable. Now, Michael, you got a business. When it says profit, what does that mean? Say what? You're being clear. Yeah, black. I don't know if you want to say black, but anyway, you're clear. It's now like there's a line that you get just to break even, but when you get to a place where it's profit, it's like, yes, I get to take that home with me, right? As a business owner, I have a few things that I have to pay for, and if I make that money and just make it even, that's not really a profit. I look at it and be like, okay. And then the realistic thing about owning a business is you want to outweigh your profits should really blow out whatever you need to make. Amen. If you don't know any keys of business, know that you have to make a profit. Amen. But it says the scripture is profitable. And now it's going to tell us what it's profitable for. And the first one is doctrine. Somebody say doctrine. What is doctrine? Somebody give me an answer to what doctrine is. Your belief system. Your belief system is doctrine. Now, everybody has a belief system. The issue is everybody's belief system is not what God's belief system is. Amen? So your doctrine has to change. Okay? And this is what the Word of God is for. When Monica was sharing the testimony of that man, his doctrine is beginning to change. You see what I'm saying? He's studying the Word of God, and now his doctrine is changing from how he used to think, how his belief system used to be, to a place where now his system is being changed. Amen? So our system got to be changed. And we're talking about deliverance. This is what is important for us to be delivered. Our system has to be changed. Then it says for reproof. I always like that because it doesn't say proof. And I say this every time I see it. But it's reproof. Because sometimes we need to be reproved again about what we believe. Amen. Sometimes we believe that Jesus died on the cross. But until you really go back and read it again, now it's like, oh, I really do now. I really do believe what happened. So you got reproof. Then you have correction. Now, that's almost like doctrine, but correction means you were wrong in something. Now, nobody likes to be corrected. I was listening to my friends. They have a radio show called Saving Lost Souls Radio, and their show was talking about accepting correction. A lot of people don't want to accept correction. Like, last week, somebody told me something after I got done doing something, and they said, well, you need to do this better, you know, or you didn't do a good job at this. And it was like, oh, I didn't really want to hear that. But as a believer, you have to learn to accept correction. And that's what the body of Christ is for. If you're living your life without God's people in your life, a lot of times you miss out on the correction that God has for you. And you could be thinking you're doing the right thing, right? This is the powerful thing about being in the body of Christ. You can think you're doing the right thing, but until somebody who's been in the Word of God shares with you, hey, you're going about that the wrong way, you're in the dark. You're in the dark. And sometimes you will need to be corrected. And I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if you're a pastor, a bishop, a pope, whatever you want to be. There is a time where you are going to need correction. And sometimes it will come directly from your time with God. Amen. Other times it might come from your spouse. Now, some people don't like that, though. Right. If my wife tells me something, that you're doing it wrong. It's like, leave me alone. Like, my wife always talks to me about cooking something. And, you know, I don't know if this is one of my pet peeves or not, but she always tries to tell me, make sure you do this. Make sure. I'm like, lady, man, I've been cooking before I've known you. So just let me cook. But today she was like, put some seasoning in that. I made some spaghetti. Make sure you put some seasoning in the spaghetti sauce. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. Then I tasted it. I was like, ooh, I better put some seasoning in there. So I had to accept that correction. Amen. But it also says for instruction in righteousness. And I always break this word down because righteousness is a church word, right? But righteousness simply means to be in right standing with God. So it instructs us on how to be in right standing with God. That's what the Bible does. Now, what our minds do is it messes that up. We instruct ourselves. That's the problem that needs to be changed by the Word of God. Sometimes we don't want to accept instruction. And some of these are real close correction instructions. But we have to remember what God's word is for. And it says that the man of God or the woman of God may be what? Come on, say it like you mean it. Complete. See, this is the thing. When you don't have the word of God in your life, and I'm avidly telling people to read through the whole Bible. Go through the whole Bible. So that you, as it says right here, will be complete. And then after that, it says thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, see, if you didn't read the Bible, you would think that works is bad. Or if somebody just told you only have grace, so you don't have to do works. But the Bible says, when I am instructed by the Word of God, it's going to make me complete so I can do the works that God wants me to do. You guys see that right there. So I just wanted to get that going because it's important in deliverance, understanding that the Word of God is the key essential for us to understand what deliverance is. The way that I'm supposed to live my life, if I'm staying in the Word of God, if I'm a studier of the Word of God, and not only a studier of the Word of God, when I look at the Bible, I have to say, that's what I need to become. Just like when you play basketball, I'm trying to be Michael Jordan back in the backyard. Jordan, and my last name don't have anything to do with Jordan, right? But he was that thing that we wanted to be like. So when we read the Word of God, that's the exact same way we look at it. Like, whoa, did you see how David did that? Man, I got to do that right there. The way that he just trusted God, the way that he even in a situation where he had a chance to kill the king, he respected, somebody say respect. He respected the people that God had put in place, and he didn't kill them. Now, some of us, we would have been like, yeah, man, he's trying to kill me. Man, I ain't going out like that. He's going to go out. But he respected who God had put in place. Amen. So the Word of God is key. Somebody say the Word of God is key. Now we're going to go to an area that is key for that. This is going to be the last part that I touch on, and that is temptation. Somebody say temptation. Now, temptation comes to us all. I really don't care how saved you think you are. Temptations will come. And sometimes they're not even huge temptations. You know, that temptation to tell a little lie that really isn't going to get you in too much trouble. Right? Like, or I have a temptation that I can talk about. Well, I'm working on this a lot right now. But I used to get on a freeway and drive 80 miles per hour everywhere. Right? Just 80. 80 is not, everybody else is doing 80. And it was a temptation. After a while, it's like, man, everybody else is doing 80. I need to get going. I'm hitting 85. Now I'm swerving, right? That's a temptation because you just want to be in front. And I don't know what the temptation is about driving fast. We see it on TV, so we want to do it, right? But after a while, I remember one cop, he was like, slow down. And I wasn't going 80. I was going like 68, you know, and I'm like, slow down. I had a weird face, like, why is he telling me to slow down? So I slowed down, and then I had a conversation with one of my friends, and he was like, man, well, you got to make sure you're going the speed limit, because when you're not, you're sinning, you know, and we don't want to hear that, right? I got somewhere to go. So, but now what I've really been making sure is I don't go past 65. I put it on cruise control so that I can make sure, and then if you got a good song on, though, sometimes you might actually hit that a little bit fast. So it's like, man, let me slow down. Like, now I'm training myself not to be tempted to drive fast. Amen? And it's the same when you get corrected by the word of God. Whatever that temptation is, it's going to take time for you to just realize and say, hey, okay, I'm cool. Now I can go 65 and not worry about who's passing me. I'm not really tripping. Like, I'm in the carpool lane, I'm going 65, and you behind me, you can go around me. I don't need to go any faster. Amen? But that's just one situation. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 12. And here it's going to talk about temptation. All right, it says this, blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation. You guys get that right there. Now, enduring temptation let me clarify, that does not mean doing what the temptation says. Like, I'm enduring my temptation. I'm just going to do it and I'm staying strong. No, you messed up. That's the wrong thing. When it says enduring temptation right here, this is the person that is enduring temptation by avoiding that temptation. And the Bible says you will be blessed for that. You guys see that? All right. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And I like how the scripture breaks it down right here, because those who endure temptation, really what it's saying is you love God. Right. You see that? It says on the end, the Lord who's promised this to those who love him. So the importance of being delivered and walking in deliverance, even in the face of temptation, is loving God. You guys get that? If I love my wife, I'm not going to do things that are going to make her upset. Right? Why? Because I love her so much. And some people will say, I love you and I did this because I was only thinking of you. No, no, you weren't. You was thinking about yourself. But when I love God, he changes the way that I react to a temptation. Everybody's going to be tempted. It said that earlier. Because actually it says it right here, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Sometimes we blame God for the temptations that we have. Like, come on, God, why you do that to me? Right? But God doesn't have evil in him. We can't even really fathom that because we still have evil ingrained in us. You know what I'm saying? We look at our life and it's hard to see life without evil. You turn on the news, evil, evil, evil. You listen to some of this music, evil, evil, evil. So God is not evil. He doesn't tempt you, but let's see what happens when you are tempted. It says in verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. All right. Then it says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. All right. So what we're seeing is temptation, which usually looks good. Right? You won't be tempted by anything that doesn't look good. You understand what I'm saying? You're not going to be, when you think about it, you're not, if you don't like a certain thing, that's not going to be a temptation to you. Because it said it's by your own evil desires, the own desires that you have. That's how temptation grabs at you. But if we are in the Word of God, we remember those that temptation thing that's trying to grab us. If we have sound doctrine, if our doctrine has been changed, now the things that we used to like are no longer the things that we used to like. You guys seen that? Let's keep on going. It says, then when sin, it gives birth to sin, and then sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. But then it says in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his will, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of all his creatures. Now, I know that kind of tied in, but what we get to see is that instead of God giving us temptation, he's going to give us good things. Amen. When you avoid a temptation, know that God has something else for you. Amen. If you avoid a temptation, I just want somebody to get this. When you avoid the temptation, whatever the desire that you might have in you that you know is not godly, and you say, I am not going to do that because I'm going to stand for God, God is going to bring something else to you. And it doesn't, I'm not saying he's going to give you $20, right? But because you avoided that temptation, you are now enduring. Amen. And it says you will be blessed. Amen. So when we look at temptation, we got to know what it is. A temptation, even though it may look good, is going to bring sin, and sin brings death. But if we avoid that, God will bring something else in our favor. Amen. So we have to understand what temptation really is. Sometimes we don't. We think it's just a little simple thing. It's not going to hurt anybody. Right? You guys heard people say that when they get tempted. It's not going to hurt anybody. I'll be all right after I do this. No, you won't. Because every time you fall to temptation, it's going to make it harder and harder the next time. Amen? But you can be an overcomer. Somebody say, I can be an overcomer if I obey his word. Let's go to Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. We're still talking about temptation. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Now, this is for the people that are saved. And what it means to be saved, once again, is to acknowledge you're a sinner, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, ask him to forgive you of your sins, right? That's the prayer that you pray, and then walk out what his word says. You guys got that? That's simple. That's real simple, but the walking out is not always a simple thing, right? If it was easy, once you say the prayer, Jesus would be like, all right, come up here with me. You know, and some people say, you know, once you're saved, once you say that prayer, see, this is the difference. If you just say the prayer, that's a prayer. I don't think if you just say that prayer, you'll be saved for the rest of your life. But if you say you're saved, and what saved means is walking out the word continually, then, hey, you could be saved your whole life. Amen. So let's see what this says. It says, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard. So as we have heard the word of God, we must give it the most earnest heed. What does heed mean? Because I know we don't use that word anymore. Attention. Not only attention, but we must hold on to it tight and not let it go. It has to continually be in our minds. Unless we drift away. Did somebody read? Is that in the Bible right there? So once you've been saved, you can drift away. How do you drift away? By following your own temptations, by not following the word of God, by letting your own doctrine lead you instead of sound doctrine. You guys seeing what I'm saying? So temptation is going to lead you away from the salvation that God has already given you. It says in verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So there are some people that get saved and they begin to neglect It's like if some people have kids, right? And they neglect their kids. What does that look like? Even though they had a kid, they will always have a kid. But if I neglect my child, and I'm just putting it in a personal thing, that means I have nothing to do with them. And neglect can mean so many different things now. And we see it today where fathers, mothers, parents all together are neglecting their children. But we must not do that with our salvation. Amen. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to speak by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Amen. So what it is saying is that God has already done a lot for us. The miracle for us, some of us, the first miracle that we need to really recognize is that God saved us. He allowed us to understand who he is, who his son is, what his son came to do. That's a miracle. Because the Bible says the only way that happens is if the Spirit draws them. And God had to draw each and every one of us to him. And that's a miracle in itself. Jesus dying and raising from the dead is a miracle. And there's countless miracles that we know that God has done in our own lives that if we sat down and just documented them and shared them, we know that, man, God has been good to me. Amen. But we must not neglect our salvation. And salvation is another word for the deliverance that God has given us. We must not neglect it. If I want to walk and stay away from certain things, I must continue and be steadfast in God. You guys understand what I'm saying? If you get this, you will walk out who God wants you to be. Amen. Now I'm gonna go for those that think that they can't handle temptation. You know, some of us, we've been in places where it's like, dang, every time that happens, I can't stop it. For some, it might be pornography. For some, it might be different things. But what I'm saying is you feel like you cannot stop it. Don't let the devil lie to you. Because when you say that, every time you say that, guess what you're doing? You're giving him power in that area. We must not empower the enemy. Amen. You may have had a struggle with that in the past, but you must recognize that, hey, God has made me new, especially as a believer. Our theme scripture is, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and behold, the new has come. When you give your life, God is taking away that old character that you used to be. And that's a wonderful thing. When we think about some of the things that we've done, even if you were a quote unquote good person, you still did a lot of bad, right? You still did a lot of bad. But God is taking that and he is giving you his new man. Now we are a new person, and that old that we used to function in, we no longer have to function in it because God has given us victory over that. Just like we raised a cup in victory. What is the victory over? Over the sins that we used to hang on to. Over the things that held us captive. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 still, but let's go to verse 14 and 18. 14 through 18. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he, which is Jesus himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So we see what Jesus came to do. He had to walk in the same flesh that we walked into, right? So Jesus he was in the same flesh that we had. You guys got that? And he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He released us who were subject to bondage. Your whole life, if Jesus was gone, if Jesus had never came, you were going to be in bondage. And you might as well got used to it. You should have. You might be like Egypt, like, hey, let's go back. We want to go back to bondage. But Jesus, it says he released, amen, those who not only, it said fear of death, were the bondage wasn't even the biggest thing. It was the fear of death. A lot of us, sometimes we might think we're getting away with something. And sometimes that fear of, oh, man, if I get caught, you know, like when somebody's driving fast, guess what? You're always worrying about the police. And some of them, they even got these beepers. What do they call it, Michael? Radar detectors, just to make sure. And when that goes off, they're like, oh, snap. And they might say something else. But you know what I'm saying? And it's like, man, okay, there's a fear. So we had a fear of death all our lifetime because we were subject to bondage. But Jesus set us free from that. Amen. It says, for indeed, he does not give aid to angels, give aid to the seed of Abraham. Now, who is the seed of Abraham? It's those who accept who Jesus was. Because if you look in Paul, he actually explains that. Some people thought, oh, the seed of Abraham is just the Israelites. But that's not what it was. It was those who accepted Jesus was the seed of Abraham. Amen. It says, therefore, in all things, listen to this right here. I want us to get this. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful, be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Or that's a payment. So what is it saying? Jesus had to become like us. Don't think Jesus didn't have temptation. And I guarantee you his only temptation wasn't when he was on a mountain on the 40 days. Jesus was tempted just like us. Guys, understand that? So when you just say, hey, I can't do this, I can't do this. First of all, you got to know that Jesus already did it. He endured the temptation and it says he's merciful for us because he knows the stuff we're going to go through. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Jesus was tempted by anything we could be tempted by. You guys see that? But then it says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid. Somebody say aid. Those who are tempted. You guys get that? That's powerful, because if I understand that, hey, I'm facing temptation. Jesus went through it. And now he is able to help me not fall prey to my temptation. Amen. We are delivered because of what Jesus did. And Jesus is still helping delivering us because he is providing that escape. He's providing that help we need to get away. Amen. All right. I hope somebody's getting something out of this. Let's go to the very next chapter, Hebrews 3, verse 14 through 16. And this is the last scripture. And I'm going to be done on this whole subject. It says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You guys see that? We have become partakers if we hold on to what we've learned all the way to the end. We've heard the Bible say the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but those who endure to the end. I play fantasy football. I guess I don't got it. You play fantasy football at all? Okay. He watches it. Now, what's the worst thing in football is to have a great lead. You didn't put all your reserves in at halftime, right? Come back out. The team comes back with a renewed fire. And you were up so far, but the other team comes back and wins the game, right? And it happens in college all the time. I mean, goodness, you think the game's over, you go to another game, then what? The team won? What happened? Right? They didn't endure to the end. They started off good, and there's some great first quarter teams, great second quarter teams. But how many of you know the fourth quarter, you know the players walk around with the four fingers up, like, okay, this is really where it needs to, this is what's going to decide the game. Now, don't get it twisted. Don't lollygag 1 through 3. But if you can stay close in it and then you can will yourself to a win in the fourth quarter, you're going to understand that it's not those who start off good, but it's those who end it good. Amen. So we must endure. Somebody say endure. It says, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, let me keep on going and reading this, the rest of this chapter. It says, now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. A lot of times you don't believe the word of God when you act on a temptation. You guys see how that works? You don't believe the word of God because it's not part of your doctrine, which is your core values. But when it is your core values, you're not going to act on that temptation. Now, I do not want to beat anybody over the head and be like, oh, you fell to a temptation. Like God, the word said in the last chapter, God is merciful to those who are dealing with these things. Amen. But he has also given us aid to overcome. Amen. You have been delivered, and as you have walking or you are walking out deliverance, you are going to face temptation, but temptation does not have to control you. You guys got it? Because remember, temptation looks good, but in the end, it produces death. Even when we endure, endurance doesn't always look good, right? You guys ever been in the middle of a race and you huffing and puffing, and endurance doesn't always look good. A boxer might be enduring. He's looking bad. But if he keeps enduring, he might still be able to win. So even though endurance doesn't look good, we got to keep our eyes on the perfecter and the finisher of our faith, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. We are delivered. That's what we got to remember. And we can hold on to that deliverance if we hold on to God's word. Amen. Let us stand up. We're going to go ahead and pray. I want to pray for anybody that feels like they've been battling temptation, and they felt you might have felt that you didn't have enough strength. And we're going to pray that God will empower you with his Holy Spirit to walk it out. Amen. So it's a real simple thing. If you feel like you need help, you've been dealing with temptation, just slip your hand up and we will pray for you. Amen. Anybody? Go ahead, slip hands up. Okay. So we'll pray for that in just a second. But we just want to deal with this. We know that God is giving us the power. So let us continue to walk in that power. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for your word. I pray, dear God, that you would just continually empower us, dear God, to walk out what you've called us to walk out, dear God, that we walk in the deliverance that you have freely given us, dear God. And I pray to God that as we go throughout the day, as we go throughout the night, dear God, even the temptations that come as we leave, allow us, dear God, to grab hold of you, dear God. And dear God, know that we are victorious and we can even defeat the temptations that come towards us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.